saith the Lord. I think we've gotten off track because religion for us is what I can get out of God rather than what can I give God of my life. And so we need to stop for a moment and do a religious reset. And so this morning, the topic or the title of the message from the series will be The Samaritan's Example. Simple, the Samaritan example. I'm not looking to be so prolific that it blows people's minds. Well, oh, wow, look, I want to make sure I'm sound in my doctrine. And I want to talk to you about some things that I believe that God would like us to see in the text so that it will enhance our religious life and our relationship with him. Amen? Amen. And so here it is, the gospel according to St. Luke. The Bible declares that Luke, that he was a physician. The Bible says that he was not only a physician, but he was a companion of Paul. Luke wrote a couple of times. He wrote two things, and he wrote the letter, or the gospel according to Luke, and then he wrote a letter to Theophilus, which is what we call the book of Acts. So Luke was a good writer. He was not only a good writer, but had to be a good physician also, because he actually prescribed us some gospel, some medicine for our soul. Amen? And so when I look at this text, we find here that Jesus is talking to the religious folks. He's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees and those of the Sanhedrin. He's talking to the group of people who pretty much make up the religious right. And he's saying to them, he was talking to them, and one thing that he told them, he says, I'm telling you, he said, there are prophets and kings that wish they could have saw what you saw and heard what you heard, being that I'm here and I'm speaking, you know. And sometimes when we look at that, I just want you to pause for a minute, and when Jesus said that, we are in the same situation. There are some people that wish they could have seen some of the things that we've seen. Some people that wish that they could have heard some of the things that we've heard that are not here and that could not hear those things, but we take it for granted because we hear it all the time. We take it for granted because God has done it. I posed a question to some of my fellow laborers in the gospel. I said, you know, tell me what miracles and what things that you've had happen in your ministry, in your life. Tell me of those things. And, you know, not too many of them responded about that. Not too many of them had anything to say, because I guarantee you so many of them that's preaching today, and I'm not, you know, trying to put them down, but this is the real task at hand. There's so many of them that can say that they are preachers, but not many of them can point in the crowd and say, I won that soul to the Lord, or I helped them to come to know Christ better. It's not too many of them that can say that. They want you to hear them, but they won't put in any work so that people's lives can become better. And so we need a religious reset because we're off course. And so, you know, when I start thinking about the things that I've seen happen in ministry, you know, so many things that I can just go back and over time, I say, you know, I've taken some things for granted, but over time I've seen God do some things. I've seen God heal people. I've seen God deliver folks, I'm telling you, like that, of drug addictions and things like that. I've seen God open blinded eyes. I've seen God heal people, bring them out of the hospital on a ventilator, and the doctor say they're dead. I've seen them get up. I've seen all this stuff. I've seen people, I know people that the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, this child here, I had no idea had a hole in his heart, but I said, when you go to the doctor, you know what? That hole's going to be gone. It's not going to be a hole there. And then when that child went, guess what? It was just like it was, just like God said. And all those things I've seen, but not saying that it's because of me, but I'm saying that I've seen that because of the work of God, that God has done some things that people wish they could see. And we need to talk more about that than we talk about each other. We talk about everything else. We talk about everybody. We talk about the world, the things that's going on in the entertainment and people. But what about talking about, give me some real results. When people bring some religious stuff to you, just ask them, you give me some real results. I got a sick cousin over here. Can you go over there and pray and God heal them? If they don't have any confidence in their God, don't bring me that. You need to go and take that with you somewhere else. If you have all you got, the miracle is my word. I don't want to hear that. I want some action. I want to see somebody doing something. I want to see how much you true. Let's see how you really, are you really right in your religion? I want to see how much you love other folks. And, you know, because some people, they think their religion is the only one right. and they want to turn yours down. So if they think that, let's see you go love people who don't have nothing. Oh, let me leave that alone. So let me get back to the text here. I'm sorry, it was kind of stuff that's been pondering in my mind. But when we start talking about a religious reset and we talk about the example of the Samaritan, there was a certain lawyer. Now, he was a lawyer, and you can tell by the way he asked the question. He says in verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up. That was the custom. They would stand up when they got ready to talk or when they wanted to be heard. And he tempted Jesus by saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And just like now, or should be now, also back then, the main focus was to inherit eternal life. You know, I know some people, the main focus is so I can get me a car, a house, a husband, a wife, you know, so I can get something from God. But our main focus should be that we have eternal life first off. Amen? And so he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? This is Jesus. And then Jesus asked the second question. He said, how readest thou? Now, what this means here is that Jesus says, you know what's written in the law, so tell me how you look at it. Yes. Tell me your interpretation. Tell me what you see when you read it. See, and that's the main problem with many of the religious folks today. We don't read right. Not only do we not read right, we don't hear right. Lord have mercy. We hear the part we want to hear, but we don't hear the whole thing. We don't hear it like we ought to hear it. We take it how we want to take it. And so Jesus asked the lawyer, he said, how are you reading? Tell me what you see when you read it. Tell me what you think. And the lawyer, being a wise one, he says, and answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He knew, and he had heard Jesus say these things before, on these two hang the law and the prophets. He knew that love was the key. He knew that love on these two hangs or hinges our Christianity today. Amen? And so he began to answer, and then Jesus said to him, thou had answered right. If you do this, you'll live. Isn't that something? If you do this, you'll live. You know that you put your life on pause every time you hold bitterness in your heart. You're not living if you hold. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, you paused your life for that person. You've paused not only your life, you've paused your blessings, you paused your prayers, you paused because God can't hear you if you got that in your heart. Am I helping anybody already? I'm not going to put my life on hold for nobody. My life has to go on. And so since my life has to go on, I have to get that stuff out of me. I have to flush that stuff with the word of God. I have to get the word in me enough conviction to say, I'm letting that go. Have mercy. So Jesus says that then you shall what? Live. Verse 29, but he willing to justify himself, that's the problem with many of us religious people. We want to justify ourselves. We don't care what the word says, but we want to justify. I know what the word say, but let me justify me. Let me tell you what, you know, let me say something to make myself look good in the situation. Let me fix it to where I don't have to do everything you say, but part of what you say, and then I still feel all right. So let me justify. He willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? See, he ain't had no problem with God. The problem was with the neighbor. Many of us don't have a problem loving God. It's the people that we can't love. But he said, he included that. He said, you can't have eternal life if you can't love God and people. What happened to religion today? We can't love each other. I don't care what religion you go to. I don't care if it's Islam. I don't care if it's Jehovah. Witness, I don't care what religion you go to, there's always people that don't love other people. In Christianity, there are sects of people that this group don't like that group because they don't believe what they believe. How is it that we can't love people? My Lord, have mercy. It's pastoral message today. And so he says, he wants to justify himself, and he asks, who is my neighbor? Because I can love the next lawyer or the next Pharisee, but I can't love the Sadducee. I can't love the sinner. I can't love the Samaritan. Amen. And that's what he's saying. Who is my neighbor? Let me get clarity here. Who is my neighbor? Because I've been loving people around me. And we don't have a problem loving folks that's around us on a day-to-day basis. But you let somebody come in our circle that we don't like, we have a problem loving them. We have a problem letting go because I don't trust you to begin with. Right? I don't really have to trust you to love you, though. I trust God. Okay, I'm going to leave that part alone. He says in verse 30, and Jesus answering and said, now Jesus begins to give a parable here. He gives a parable so that they could understand because they couldn't understand the simplest thing. He couldn't understand it with it just being love your neighbor, love God and love your neighbor. That's too simple. And that's where we are in religion today. It's too simple. When we say do the simple stuff, people say that's it. Because, oh, you mean you ain't got to speak in tongues? And you ain't got to prophesy to me to tell me to love my neighbor? No. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that to tell you to love God. I don't have to give you 200 prophecies and you sitting there waiting on them to come and they ain't never happened. All you need to do is go ahead and love. Amen. And when you love, Jesus said you shall what? Live. Amen. Oh, Lord. But it's too simple this way. Some people want to know what it say in the Greek. And they can't live it in the English. Am I okay here? I feel comfortable. I mean, if you don't say amen, I'm okay with that. He says, but a certain Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans were people who were undesirables. They were people who had, after the Assyrians came in and wiped out Jerusalem, the 9.5 tribes had got taken away, and they went off to Assyria, and they implanted some people from a foreign land there, and they took over the land. And then some of those that were half-breeds that came back, they were a mixed race of people, like many of us in here. They were a mixed race. They were Israelites mixed with Phoenicians. They were mixed with Babylonian. They were mixed with all kinds. It was just a mixed race of people, and they called them Samaritans. Now, the Samaritans didn't worship in Jerusalem. They worshiped somewhere else. Remember John chapter 4, Jesus and the woman at the well. She said that we worship in this mountain, but y'all say go worship on the other mountain over in Mount Zion by Jerusalem, right? And so the Samaritans had a kind of a separation because they were rejects. So Jesus says, there was a certain Samaritan. Let's go back here. He said there was a certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. A certain man, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. I want you to remember all that because I have some things I want you to see in the text. And by chance there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he saw him at that place, came and looked on him and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. And we'll stop right there so I can get into the text here. The first thing I want you to see is the attack or the infliction of pain on this man. After he left, look at this, a certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, Jerusalem was a higher place. Jerusalem was above sea level, and Jericho was going down, right? And so this man left the high place. He left Jerusalem. He left the place of worship, and he was on his way down to Jericho, the cursed city. This man left a high place. Now, we got to understand, when God calls us to repentance, that means he calls us back to a what? High place. The word pent, it comes from where we use the word penthouse, a high place. So to repent is to return to the what? High. So this man left the high place to go to the low place. All right? But on his way, he fell among thieves. He fell among these people who destroyed him, people who left him desolate and disabled, people who took things from him. And so this man was attacked by somebody while he was leaving church. The Bible says that once we get the word, that after the word is sown, that immediately the devil comes to try to choke it up. The devil comes to try to snatch it out. He comes so that the word of God can't grow in your life. That's why so many people have given up on church, because they left church, and on their way from church, they've been hurt, wounded, attacked, broken, beat down, and they are left with nothing, and they don't realize that there's a good Samaritan out there somewhere. Because they put their trust in people rather than trusting in God. Have mercy here. So he left there, and as he went down, the Bible says they stripped him of his raiment. They left him naked, and they departed and departed, leaving him half dead. He was almost dead, halfway dead. And by chance there came a priest. Now look at this, and I want to talk to the religious folks, because we all say we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that show forth the praise of him that brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what we say. But he said that all of a sudden, that after the attack, there was some religious people that were ignoring him. He was inflicted, but then there was some ignoring going on. Look at this. After the attack, look at the Bible says that there were a certain priest that came by. And the priest saw him and went to the other side of the street because he didn't want to get too close. Now, he was aware of the problem, but he avoided him. Look at this here. He was aware of the pain and the affliction that this man was under and suffered, but he avoided him. Now, perhaps let's give the priest a chance here. Because if you're a priest, the Levitical priest law says that you shouldn't be touching dead things. So perhaps he said that man might be dead, so I don't want to defile myself and I become ceremonially unclean. But let me interject something else. He was coming from Jerusalem, so he had already done his ceremony, so he could have done whatever he wanted to do, and still when he returned to Jerusalem, he could have been clean again. So that wasn't the problem, even though it looks good, it sounds good, that's a good excuse. But he ignored the man not because he was dead. He ignored the man because he didn't want to be bothered. You know how it is. We don't want to be bothered with other people. We don't sometimes want to be bothered with our own children. Amen, somebody. We don't want to be bothered with other people's problems. I got enough myself. I got enough bills myself. You can't be borrowing money from me. I got enough problems myself. I don't need to be up all night worrying with your problem, because I need to rest. I got to work, take care of my house. I ain't got time for nobody else. Priest. But we're a royal priesthood. I don't fool with them church folks no way. They all messed up, and you ain't. We all need Jesus. The priest went to the other side, avoided him. I don't want nothing to do with this. I have the ability to help, but I won't. But I'm a priest. I'm religious. I know how to walk like a priest. I know how to serve at the temple, right? I know I received my portion from God. But I'm not going to share my portion. Okay. That's for me. I'm the priest. All right. Y'all not. All right. That's me. All right. Let me go a little further then. Likewise, the Levite. These are the folks who work around the temple. Folks that actually participate in temple worship. Mm-hmm. The Levite, came to that place, and look what the Levite did. The Levite looked at him, examined him. You know how church folk do. We examine people. We look at people to see what they're all about. We find out what's all wrong with him, don't we? We find out what's wrong with them, why it happened, who could have did it, and why they land in the state they're in. We know why they're there, but we're not going to help them. We examine them. We see every wound. We see every hurt. Every heartache, every heartbreak, we see it, talk about it, examine it, but we don't do anything about it. Isn't that like a Levite? All right. Ain't nobody else but me. He said the Levite did the same thing. And guess what he did? He went on the other side, avoided him, left him by himself. And then verse 33 says, there was a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? Compassion. The word compassion means love. He loved on him. Now, he had compassion, or showed love to somebody he didn't even know. He showed love to people he didn't even know. All right, here's an example. He says, and when he went, and he went to him and bound up his wound. Notice what he did. He didn't wait for the man to call him. He saw the man in need. He went to the man. The man needed something. He went to the man, and he decided that I'm going to help him. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So he began to intercede. He began to take authority here and began to acknowledge the man. So the Samaritan acknowledged him, but not only did he acknowledge him, look what he did. He anointed him. He anointed him. He cleaned him up. He did what it took to get this man off the ground. We leave folks on the ground. We leave them in the state that they're in. We pass by them and not even give them a word. We pass by them. Notice what he did. He not only took oil, but he gave wine too. Oil and wine. Oil represents the anointing. The wine represents the restoration of the joy of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Right? And so he gave him something. He put hope back into this man that he wouldn't die in the state that he was in. How many of us are giving people hope that they won't die in the state that they're in? How many times have you told somebody you don't have to stay like you are? There is a way. There is somebody, and his name is Jesus. Do I have any witnesses here? I came to tell somebody this morning that you don't have to stay in the state that you're in. I'm here to pour oil in your wound and wine in your wound, get you all ready so that you can heal up. That man started the process. The Samaritan started the process of healing. And we, the church, have the ability to start the process of the healing of people. But we choose to go the other way. We choose to ignore him. We choose to examine and say, not my problem, and keep on going. Reset. The Samaritan's example makes us shameful. Because we are the religious folks, just like the Levites and the priests, with our holy garb on. We walk around with our suits looking good. We got all our stuff. We know how we carry our Bibles. We know how to quote scriptures. But do we know how to help people in need? All right. He bound him up, poured oil and wine in on him, and set him on his own beast. I like this part because we ain't going to do this. I'm riding. I see a man, I help him up, and I walk while he rides. You ain't finna give up your seat. We can't even get, you get mad at somebody sitting in your seat at church. Let them park in your spot. You mad two times because they're in your spot and you in my seat. Come on now. Tell the truth, shame the devil. We get upset if somebody get in our spot, and we're not going to put somebody, we're not going to ride, you ain't finna ride in my car. You ain't finna ride, you better get on, I'll go get the truck, I'll come back and you get on the back. But we're not putting you in the front. See, I can rinse the back of that truck off, but I'm not finna get you in the front. You know, that's how we are. Amen, y'all. Amen, church. That's all right. Amen, myself. Well, I'm begging for amens this morning. So he took him and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He put him on his own beast. He walked while the man rode, took him to the inn or the hotel or the bed and breakfast, whatever you want to call it, and he took care of the man as long as he could do it. But I didn't help you last week. I'm not helping you this week. You need to get up off your lazy behind and go do something. You were sick last week, but you're ready now. Go. You know, that's how we feel. Come on, be honest now. I know I ain't the only one. And let me admit, I'm the first one. Can anybody else admit that? Amen. I'd help you out last month. Don't come back next month. You should have figured something out by you can go pick up cans, you can wash cars, all this grass out here. You can't mow grass. What, the man's sick though. He's sick. He's sick. He took care of him. I know this is different for y'all. Y'all want me to holler or something? It says, then he tells him on the morrow when he departed, he took 2 pence. 2 days' wage. In that day, 2 pence, a pence was a day's wage. He took 2 days' wage. Now, how many of you, you work 5 days a week? You make about $40 a day, average, just say that. And how many of you would have took $80? That's 2 days of pay. I work 2 days, and this is what I got in 2 days, and I'm giving it to somebody. 2 days' wages, and he gave it to the, he, it says that he took, he says on the morrow when he departed, he took 2 pence, and he gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He said, now, the one thing I like about the Samaritan, he wasn't just putting on for show. Because the fact that he was able to tell the innkeeper that I'm paying this, but whatever more it takes to take care of him, I'll pay it when I get back. The innkeeper must have said he got good credit with me. His name had to have a good standing. Lord have mercy now. And that's something we need to take example here.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Aw, you know kids will be kids.
Oh, I don't know why they're trying to make a big deal of it. It's just a harmless rite of passage.
If she didn't want to be picked on, she shouldn't wear that thing on her head.
If he's going to dress that way, he's just asking for the extra attention.
It's just a stage. All kids face some bullying. They'll get over it.
That girl, she just brings it on herself. I don't feel bad for her at all.
It's just a stage.
All kids face something.
It's just a stage.
It's just a harmless rite of passage.
Don't validate. Eliminate. All students in Louisiana deserve a safe learning environment without the threat of bullying. I'm Debbie Moe, president of the Louisiana Association of Educators. It is up to us as educators, as parents, as adults to stand up on behalf of bullied students. Identify, intervene, and advocate. One caring adult can make all the difference.
Visit nea.org/bullyfree. A message from the Louisiana Association of Educators.
Sing this little song right now.